Okay. Relational people are blessed and happy and to be envied. Okay, blessed, yes, I'm forgiven. I understand being blessed. This is good. Yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Where am I going from here? Where am I going? Oh, I am happy. Just thinking about the Lord, I get joy. I'm happy. And to be envied. Okay, how do I get to be envied? Where does the being envied come? That's just in the Amplified Bible, don't pay attention to it. See, that doesn't work for me. I looked at that and I said, oh yes, Lord. Yes, I'm blessed. And yes, I am happy because my sins are forgiven. And I'm so grateful that I am a person to be envied. And if I am a person to be envied, there's a reason that I'm going to be envied. Alright? Okay, how many, when you got saved, and you told somebody I'm saved, could just see the envy in their eyes? Hey, I'm saved. Don't you want to get saved? And didn't they just say, oh man, I just envy you. I wish I had what you had. Oh, you can have it too. But well, maybe later. Okay? When you get saved, you don't have anything that somebody where we're supposed to go into the world envies. Because they think you're crazy. You picked up a bug that some other people have, but you don't really have anything that hasn't gone, oh man, I want that. Now, you go to the church, and if you happen to go to the church where they understand that, they're excited for you too. Oh, bless God, welcome to the kingdom. This is awesome. You go to the church that doesn't understand that, they'll welcome you to the kingdom. Go to some other kingdom. They aren't envying you. They don't even like you so much as they did before. Because you are at another level. You're in a different place. Different things are interesting to you, and what you really want to talk about, they don't want to hear about. And if you don't talk about what you really want to talk about, you don't feel good after you've talked to them because you quenched the Spirit of God in order not to offend them. Because you didn't want to offend them. Now, there are times when the Spirit of God will quench your mouth and say, don't waste it. Okay? So, you know, there's all of those things. But the fact of the matter is when you get your sins forgiven, except for to the angels in heaven and other believers who are born again, there's nothing to envy about it. Now, there's another thing that happens. When you get your sins forgiven, and you're blessed, and you're happy, there may be other people in the kingdom of God who are jealous of you. They don't envy you, they're jealous of you. I had people who were just plain mad at me because, number one, I could actually think my sins would be forgiven. God forgave you, we will never forgive God for forgiving you. Fine, but I'm forgiven. And that makes me happy. Oh, you and your praise the Lord. You and all of your joy. Oh, you, oh, you, oh, you. It's not me, it's Him. But the fact of the matter is that you're blessed. People don't mind that if you keep it to yourself. You're happy. They don't mind that if you don't tell them why. But they don't envy you. They don't even want to be near you, let alone envy you. They cross the street to not be walking on the side you are. They'll change aisles at Walmart so as not to see you. They will let you know very quickly in the middle of a conversation that they would rather be walking on glass than visiting with you. Okay, so fine. So then, God knows this. Why did he write something like this? He never intended that we live in our own little secluded spot and only make each other happy, right? No. He intended that we catch the blessed part. You gotta feel it, you know? You gotta feel it. There ain't anything wrong with feelings. That the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we catch the happy part. And that we look for the envy part. Because God has promised to make us enviable. He has promised, he said to the Gentiles, he said that you are going to be so blessed that it's going to make the Jews jealous, and they're going to want what you've got. Okay, when the Jews had God in their camp, everybody knew it, and people would become Jews in order to get in on the blessing. Because God did say, you'll be blessed, everyone in your house will be blessed, you take good care of your slaves even. You take care of everything, everybody's going to be blessed because you're a part of me. Okay, when Jesus came, we sort of flip-flop roles there. And everybody that's in Christ is in, and everybody that's out of Christ is a Gentile. Everybody that's outside of Christ is not inside the kingdom. But God still intends to work things the same way. That the glory of God will be upon you. That people will see you and call you blessed. That you are to be envied. And when people envy you, then they want a part of you. And the only part of you that is worth giving or that will give them anything that will fulfill them is Christ. Correct? Okay? And so this is just the fact. This is just the way it is. Thus David, verse 6 says, congratulates the man and pronounces a blessing on him to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works that he does. In other words, to the person who understands that everything that God has for me is just because God wants me to have. Just because I believe Him, just because I trust Him, just because I expect Him to keep His word, David congratulates that person. Blessed and happy and to be envied are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered up and completely buried. My sins are covered up, they are completely buried, they're gone, they're history, they're no more, they can't come back. The only way they come back is if I bring them up, and then they don't amount to anything because God has forgiven them and forgotten them. And the devil will work in me to bring guilt and to bring shame and to try to get me to repent again for something that God never intended. That God doesn't even remember. And so then, blessed and happy and to be envied is the person of whose sin the Lord will take no account nor reckon it against him. Blessed. Everybody catches the blessing. Because it's when the eyes of our understanding are open and we recognize that we need to be forgiven, we feel blessed that we can be forgiven. And being forgiven makes us happy. A person should be happy about being forgiven. A person should be happy that God has forgotten it. But sometimes a person is their own worst enemy when it comes to this, because a person is the one that keeps bringing up the junk. I've got to tell you, I was more than happy to just leave it all away. More than happy to just let him take it all. Because I knew there were a lot of them I didn't even know about. Because there were a lot of them that were done when I was in no condition to remember anything. But I trusted him that he knew about those. And so when I said, forgive me for all of them, he forgave me for all of them. And he erased them. They're all gone. And from time to time, the devil will bring one up, and it just makes me so happy, I can't stand it. Because I just say, well, praise God, that one was forgiven too. Thank you so very much. You know, that doesn't make the devil very happy when you're thanking him for reminding you how good God is. But to be envied I never thought about that before. I never thought about it before. But it makes perfect sense when I think about it. Because it's another level. It's a level that prepares the harvest. You see, there's a lot of people whose hearts have been pricked by their sins. A lot of people that have wanted to go to heaven. Somebody says, "You want to go to heaven?" People say, "Well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell." And so they say, "Well, then you need to be forgiven. Have you ever sinned?" "Well, yes, of course I've sinned." "Okay, then you just pray a prayer and you're forgiven, and now live for Jesus." "Okay, how do I do that?" I asked this question once. I said, "What do I do now?" And they said, "Well, that's between you and God." You know, that's like trying to cheat off of somebody's paper and they don't have any answers on it. You ain't going to do any better on the test than that's between you and God. But it wasn't bad advice, because I thought, okay, if it's between me and God, I'll just talk to God about it. Now, it was odd that I would do that, because I wasn't necessarily, you know, a Bible scholar knowing that God talks to people. But I did know that something had been talking to me. Something had been telling me things as I was studying. So maybe that something was someone. So maybe it was God. So, you know, if nothing else, I'll just keep following whatever this is that's telling me to do stuff. And so that's just sort of what I've been doing. And I thank God that whenever someone would tell me, "You can't do that," I didn't just slide it under the rug and forget where it was. Instead, I would make sure what God said about it, because I was convinced that I wasn't making my own plans, that they must be God's plans. And so if God was making plans, I didn't want to just forget His plans because somebody said, "You can't do that." That's not always the easiest way, but I think the best way. Because so many times, people's fires have been quenched. Their zeal has been shut down. The very joy and happiness and the almost leap into being enviable has had lead weight stuck to it, and they've given up. Okay? We are not going to give up. You will not be able to come here and give up. Because I won't give up. And this is the greatest, most enviable position that any person in the world could have, to be able to encourage other people in the Lord. And I have to tell you that earlier tonight, Vicki and I were talking, and I said, "Well, maybe we should just bring everybody over to our house and we'll catch the Great Lakes Convention on the computer. We'll all watch it together." And somebody asked me just before I was leaving, "Well, are we going to come over here?" And I said, "I don't know yet. I'm waiting upon the Lord for what the Lord wants." And so we're worshiping, and I'm thinking about that. And the Lord said to me, He said, "Have you entered into worship in front of the computer the way you're entering into worship right now?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Would I be any better at the Great Lakes Convention than I would be right here?" I said, "No, sir." These are the people to go to another level here. This is your privilege. I said, "Oh, I'm so glad. I really didn't want to go over there. I really wanted to stay here. Because I love this, and because I really think that you are people who who are open to being enviable, to being envied, to being people who God moves so greatly in your life that His glory shines off of you and people envy you for what you have physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, that you are willing to allow God to take you to that place, and you'll know what to do with it when people envy you. When they say, well, how come you're so lucky? Or, you sure live a blessed life. Absolutely. You want some? Don't you want some? This is what God has for you. I need to tell you, I hear people, and I just have to leave so I don't sin, because I hear people that share good news and it sounds bad. It amazes me how somebody can take this that is so full of joy and power and goodness and everything else and just make me not want to hear it. You know, I really don't. I don't think some people should be allowed to read the Bible in public. I don't think they should. Because I think that there's people who have an opportunity to hear life and they just get crapped on. And that's just, it's just not right. Because this thing is good. It's full of stuff. It's just, it's full. I mean, God can wake me up at 4:08 in the morning, or I wake up at 4:08 in the morning, and He takes advantage of the opportunity and says, read this, and then He can have me all day thinking about it, and just getting blessed and happy and about to be envied. Because it tells me that, as my wife says, another level. And so then when I have that, and then He says, you know, it's really exciting when He says I can talk about it. Because sometimes when He tells me things and I have to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait to talk about it, man, it's just about more than I can bear. And He gets so serious about it, I want to talk about it to my wife. I want to say something about it. He'll say, okay. When? But I know it's coming. And that's the thing about being enviable. See, I know when I got saved, not too many people envied me. In fact, some people felt sorry for me because some people thought that I gave up a lot for that. Well, obviously they don't know much, right? If they think you give up something when you get saved. But to the world's eyes, it is. It's giving up something. But in the supernatural, I knew I was gaining something. I just didn't know what I was gaining. To begin with, I have to tell you, I was one who was perfectly, I was proud to say, just being saved is all I'll ever need. Just being saved is all I'll ever need. That God don't ever have to do another thing for me. But He just kept doing things for me anyway. He just kept doing things. And I didn't understand it then. I just knew it was happening. But I didn't know. I didn't understand. But now I understand. A little. At least in part. And so if I understand that He did that without me knowing how, why, when, where, like a child. Children don't know why you change their diapers. It's not just because they stink, it's because you love them. Children don't know why you feed them, but they know you should feed them. Right? They know that. They think think you should feed them long after you think you should feed them. But once they come to understand that you are the one who is supposed to take care of them, then they come and allow you to take care of them. I don't have a child old enough yet that will refuse to let me put gas in their car. In fact, they expect me to put the gas in their car. It's Dad's tradition. There's other traditions that they aren't so excited about, but that one, they're pretty big on. They understand that one. They realize that it is beneficial. Batteries again. They understand that, and so they'll do that. Okay, so God was putting gas in my car, changing my diapers, buying my clothes, doing all kinds of things because I was a child when I was a child. But when I grew up, then I could throw that off, right? And so now, I know a little something. And so when it says that I'm to be envied, that tells me that I'm going to be envied. You're blessed. You're happy. You're going to be envied. I'm perfectly prepared to be envied. I just realized this week, years ago, those of you who were around years ago know about old paint, my old white truck. And my old white truck, a guy wanted to buy it one time, and I never thought about selling the old white truck, and then God said, give him the old white truck. And so, I gave him the old white truck. I mean, to be honest with you, it wasn't something you'd go bragging about selling. Like, oh, bless God, I get it. But it just occurred to me this week that around 20 years later, 18 years later, another white truck came into my driveway. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a nice truck. A nice truck. I thought, my Lord, I like the way God does things. It had all of its paint. The other one was called paint because it was a spotted pony. Gray, where I had sprayed the rust. Rust where the rust had come back through, and a little bit of white here and there. God's replacement. Well, God knew what he was doing. It was enviable. And I tell you what, every time I filled out with gas, I should have been praying, oh God, have every pump full, you know, that everybody's there all the time. But there were very few times that I filled that with gas and somebody would say, nice truck, and I'd say, yeah, God gave that to me. And it really didn't matter if they wanted to know the rest of the story or not. I just had to let them know how good God was. Now I wish I would have remembered that that came from that other truck. But it was enviable. It was enviable. People envied that truck. Now some thought a preacher had no business driving a truck like that. That's why we keep Dickie's Lincoln in the garage. Oh, she looks good in it. She looks good in it. That's the Bill Hobart Memorial Lincoln. Transform a truck into a Lincoln. The mayor ought to drive it, right? But you see, blessed. Ah, we are so blessed. We're so blessed just to know Jesus. So blessed. So fortunate to have our sins forgiven. Happy, oh man, since Jesus Christ came in and took away my sin. I'm inside, outside, upright, downright. Happy all the time. That's good. But to be envied. Don't quit now, Roger. You're to be envied. Understand that? You catching that? Is it stirring something in you? To get beyond all of the other stuff that tries to hold you down and move into the be envied. To cast our cares upon God because He cares for us, and we're to be envied. People don't envy you if you're carrying cares. And quite honestly, it's silly for us to carry cares, isn't it? Since God says cast the cares, just cast them off and go get envied. See, we all have those glimpses of being envied. We have those moments where we just rise above things, where things are just right, and we're enviable. But you see, we do not necessarily expect to stay enviable. I think we should. I think that we should be surprised when we aren't, and not surprised when we are. You know? I think that when we feel like we're not in an enviable position, we should begin to shout, because an enviable position is on its way. Because where sin does much to abound, where the prince of sin, where the devil does much to abound, the grace of God does much more to abound. And so when the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, God is coming rapidly to put you in an enviable position. Now to me, people in enviable positions are the head and not the tail. The lender, not the borrower. The top, not the bottom. The haves, and not the have-nots. This is what God intends. And so, when I read that, I just said, I'll take that. I'll take that. I envy me. I envy the fact that God looked under a barrel, picked up the rock under the barrel, and I was under it. I envy that fact. I think it's just amazing. But that doesn't thrill too many people outside of the body of Christ, and it doesn't thrill some people inside the body of Christ, and that's okay. It doesn't really matter. That doesn't make one bit of difference. And I love the joy. I love the joy. The joy of the Lord is my... I love it. I'll fight for it. I'm going to start hitting myself when I don't have it to remind myself to have it. Either get joyful or I'm going to hit you, Roger. Because that's what I should do. But only God is going to put me in the enviable position. And the old Star Wars, you know, they had to get into the beam-up room. Beam me up, Scotty. Had to be in the right place to be beamed. Right?
Star Trek.
Same difference. Doesn't matter to me. Anybody that knows about beaming knows it's one or the other. What did I say? Star Wars, huh? Yeah, that was the Force. Follow the Force. I'm following the Force. Beam me up. Beam me up to that enviable position, Lord. Show me the place I need to be, and that's where I'll be. It isn't important that I know Star Wars and Star Trek. It's important that I know the Word of God. And I got a wife that'll get me around the right track. Doesn't bother me a bit. No. 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 Galaxy of the stars. I don't know. Star search. Doesn't make any difference. Whatever it is, you know. The thing is that He said, you're blessed. Be happy. You're headed for being enviable. That's my heart's desire. For you, for me, for the body of Christ. And one can turn 1,000, two turn 10,000. We got enough right here that if enough people envy us, it'll grow and grow and grow. Amen? Hallelujah. Father in heaven, thank you. We are blessed. We're happy about it. And move us on, Lord, into that enviable position. We receive it. We're excited about it. Lord, I pray you don't let anything or anybody steal this from us. I pray that it would be bubbling up in us like rivers of living water. I pray, God, that it would be flowing out of us. I pray, Lord, that truly, truly, you would do things in our lives that would make us enviable. Whatever it is, financial, physical, whatever it is, Lord, things that would cause people to say, "Where did you get that? How do you get there?" And Lord, we will have the confidence and the competence to absolutely be able to lead people into an enviable position with Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any additions? Revelations? I envy you. Pretty soon. Live by faith, not by sight, amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.